do the cooking, honey. I'll pay the rent.
From a fountain that is pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain.
Solitude of the scene, deep from human vanity and the pride of life that planned her, stilly couches she. Steel chambers, late the pyres of her salamandrine fires, cold currents thrid and turn to rhythmic tidal lyres. Over the mirrors bent to glass the opulent, the sea worm crawls, grotesque, blind, dumb, indifferent. Jewels in joy designed to ravish the sensuous mind lie lightly with all their sparkles bleared and black and blind. Pale moon-eyed fishes near gaze on the gilded gear and query, what does this vaingloriousness down here? Well, while was fashioning this creature of cleaving wing, the imminent will that stirs and urges everything designed a sinister mate for her, so gaily great. A shape of ice, for the time far and dissociate. And as the smart ship grew in stature, grace, and hue, in shadowy, distant silence grew the iceberg, too. Alien they seemed to be, no mortal eye could see the imminent welding of their later history, nor say how they were bent by paths coincident on being anon twin halves of one august event, till the spinner of the years said, now. And each one hears, and consummation comes, and jars two hemispheres. Thomas Hardy, lines written on the recent sinking of the Titanic. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is no rerun, at least this time it isn't, of the Ask Dr. Hal Show. That's the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio. Yes, dear friends, this is indeed, again, your irritating horror host, Howland Owl. And tonight, though I am wise enough not to make promises, we may have a special guest, but that is to be seen as the show wears on, not tediously, we hope, but full of the usual razzmatazz, mazuma, and mazash. Yes, we're about to set the whole Megillah in magnum motion, as we always do. One wonders, what audience is receptive to this particular broadcast? Whose influences are at work? Who has interest in it besides me, your podcaster and humble narrator? But we cast our bread upon the waters here. Whether seagulls dive down to scoop it up from the air, or the monsters of the deep rise from below to engulf it with their insatiable jaws, it is there for the taking. And let me remind you, it is also there for the downloading and listening at a different time. If 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Friday is inconvenient, and why shouldn't it be? Friday is the time when everybody does things. Go out, have fun, go to clubs and bars, have parties, do anything but turn on the computer and listen to some By Our Lady program like this, a show. Who does that, eh? Zwoons. There may be some that do, for I am pigeon-livered and lack gall to make oppression bitter. But enough of that. Let us return to an earlier cycle of podcasting, because the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio stands atop the mighty monument of more than 40 years of previous creations of this kind. How did they start? In the early days of the Church of the Subgenius, with which I am in constant communion, there was no internet. There were no personal computers to speak of, except in the computer labs of state universities, and these required elaborate preparation and study beyond the inclination and reach of most sybarites and beer-drinking blowhards, the two groups that largely comprise the populace. And so, we, widely separated, but united in our faith in J.R. Bob Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius, created what we called yak tapes, cassettes on which we recorded our thoughts while we drove around or shopped or simply puttered around the house. And then, when these tapes were full, we dropped them in an envelope, and through the courtesy of the U.S. Postal Service, it was taken to Texas, to Washington, D.C., to California, to wherever another subgenius awaited this form of communication. And so, in creating layered sonic tapestries, as it were, we laid the groundwork, and these humble yak tapes were the genesis, the precursor of shows just like this one. Or somewhat like this one, certainly recognizably like this one.
Oh, yeah. have Sandy Dennis.
Right? Not Sandy Dennis, that toothy, twitchy actress from...
Well, Scott Wiener hates syrupy.
Staircase.
He's going to go after ice cream next.
So anything with sugar, it's a good... They've already broken the code on that. They know how to get money out of
the idea is poor
sugar.
People drink it, and we know better than they do. So we're make them drink
we always know better than poor people. The most important thing is to keep them poor so we can keep control.
So we can know better than them
so we can
forever.
Better than them
it's like
forever.
Traffic calming, you know. We won't tell you what to do. We'll make you do what you want to do.
You mean like when the guy's going back and forth on the highway?
Pete Townsend.
How about that one? Have you seen that? You're driving along, and then all of a sudden, way up ahead, there's a cop, and he's weaving madly back.
Boy, he needs some traffic calming, doesn't he?
He's supposedly slowing, and everybody's slowing down and putting their brakes on, and he's going,
slow down.
Terrible.
So terrible.
Just terrible.
His friend who was on the Golden Gate Bridge after the earthquake, he was part of the film crew for shooting the reconstruction of the Bay Bridge. And he was out on the other side of the island from here on this side of the bay and saw a cool race between two CHP officers and their souped-up cars. The old cars, not the new ones. I'd love to see that. A drag race between the new sports vans.
What a drag that race is.
Back and forth action, though, right? Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Many times.
Yeah. It works. Definitely
even
works.
Even the dumbest of drivers can figure that out pretty fast.
They can figure that out pretty fast.
Yeah, what you gotta do.
You gotta be crazy enough to go back and forth with your lights on.
Dark.
I've seen people kind of see that and then try to pass the officer. They're thinking, he was going crazy. It's okay now. I'll just go.
Yeah, I better get around him as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't want to hang around with this crazy guy back here. Look at him weaving all over traffic.
I'm trying to get around and let your troubles surround you.
Downtown. Rabid. He'd been bit by a rabid animal.
Or a rabid thought, maybe.
Yeah.
Rabbit feet on me now, boy. Rabbit feet. Lucky for the webbit. No, it wasn't. So why should it be lucky for me?
Change on you, boy. 16. Dead rabbit.
I promise I won't run away this time, officer.
Born and bred in a briar patch, right, officer.
Hey, boy. That's what they always say. If you do, you're going to be dragging that bed frame with you.
I wish I had a big, fat soda right now.
Mmm, hey, I do. I think it's time to chug-a-lug some glug-a-lug.
Cherry rabbit soda. I want a meat soda.
I'll pour this so-called soi-disant energy drink down my gullet. And let's see.
They have a store that sells meat and potato soda and turkey soda and all this other stuff.
Wow.
I didn't get
turkey
any.
Dinner soda.
They also have all the bizarre candy that you never heard of.
Now that I did
That's
get.
That's like at the Jelly Belly factory, you know, where
they
you
have
get the
super hot
the
pepper
flavored jelly
brittle
belly and the
candy brittle.
You draw the line somewhere.
Jelly belly.
And you take it, it's sweet, and then suddenly a wave of pepper hits you.
Why yeah. Why would somebody eat that stuff?
Yes, because you'd have to admit in that case that you
Ronald
knew what
Reagan
those things
was.
Tasted like. No, Reagan just liked lime,
yeah, have to say,
cherry,
this doesn't
strawberry.
Taste like a bugger.
He didn't even take the licorice, you know, the full assortment of jelly beans. Classically had licorice and mint, which could throw the rest of them off if you cram a bunch.
My fans have sent me a big bunch of
days.
They're licorice black jelly beans, and I have to try hard not to gobble them all down.
You would love to go to the Jelly Belly factory.
Of course I would, but I would never leave. I would die after
ingesting
and you walk through the actual
jelly bean after jelly bean.
Massive glycemic shock.
I become a different person.
Isles of Langerhans.
I want an Easter egg. I'm an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg.
But fortunately,
he had the mind of
this
a child.
Saves the state from having to preserve his remains. Now made of perfect sugar. He belongs.
He just hardened into his last known shape.
Just don't let those
Never.
Kids lick me. So it was a sad thing.
The licking of the chops.
Yes. I guess I
like a licking his chops.
But you'll never
you
get
better
any
not try. These boys don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well,
why didn't you let them?
After all,
well, I
it's
I
different
take a poll.
For the lion. The best years of my life, said the lion, have been spent where trapezes are flying. My teeth are all false, and I know how to waltz. For a lion, that's most mortifying. So we hear today that the San Francisco Zoo is getting rid of its two lions. The lions that have been there for so many years that you could hear cough and roar in the distance. Local politician Quentin Kopp was often amused or bemused by hearing the sound of a lion's throaty cough. Of course, I hear it all the time. It's that's like the guy I live with. But nonetheless, the lions are being deported along with so many. Yes, they're being taken to the happy lion hunting ground because they're old. They have arthritis. They're having trouble climbing out of the lion moat, so it said in the newspaper. Now, let me tell you, they know when they're well off. And that lion area means that they get thrown big pieces of meat and they don't have to hunt. The male lion doesn't hunt anyway. It's the female who brings the meat home. But the female doesn't have to work either. All they have to do is lie around and blink. But a number of years ago, some of you will remember that there was a tiger in the pit, Tatiana. A full-grown Bengal tiger. And some teenagers came and they yelled at Tatiana and threw things at her and hit her and taunted her and sassed her. And what do you know, Tatiana could also get out of the pit anytime she wanted to, and she did. With one giant leap, this immense tiger got out, and she killed one of these guys. They ran away. The other one was alive, but not in good shape. So the zoo had to euthanize Tatiana. You know, she has to defend herself against nasty teenagers. They're, you know, it's peer pressure. One is mean to the tiger, and the other says, that's mean, I could be more mean to the tiger, and so on. Well, the tiger settled the score. So now they're getting rid of the two lions, and in the space they're going to put bulbous pandas from China that London Breed, the mayor, negotiated with the Chinese. And they will put these eucalyptus-eating creatures, these so-called bears, which are not actually in the bear family, nor are they in my family, but that's going to happen. And so I have to say, what can be said about the lion? Well, you can look online and see all sorts of zoological information. But I happen to have an ancient medieval manuscript here. It's actually from the early Middle Ages. This particular bestiary has been translated into Latin, Ethiopic, Arabic, Armenian, Syriac, Anglo-Saxon, Icelandic, Spanish, Italian, Provençal, and all the principal dialects of the Germanic and Romanic languages. I have a copy which predates the last handwritten manuscript known, which was copied in Iceland in 724. But forget what the moderns say about lions. Let us go on. Leo, the lion, mightiest of beasts, will stand up to anybody, including sassy teenagers, one assumes. The word beasts should properly be used about lions, leopards, tigers, wolves, foxes, dogs, monkeys, and others which rage about with tooth and claw, with the exception of snakes. They are called beasts because of the violence with which they rage, and are known as wild, that is, the Latin word here is ferus, because they are accustomed to freedom by nature and are ferantur, and are governed, yes, that's right, by their own wishes. They wander hither and thither, fancy free, and they go wherever they want to go. Yeah, where does a lion go? Wherever he wants to. Yeah. The name lion, Leo, has been turned into Latin from a Greek root, for it is called Leon in Greek, but this is a muddled name, partly corrupted, since Leon has also been translated as king from Greek into Latin, owing to the fact that he, the lion, is the prince of all animals. They say that the litters of these creatures come in threes. The short ones with curly manes are peaceful. The tall ones with plain hair are fierce. The nature of their brows and tail tufts is an index to their disposition. Their courage is seated in their hearts, while their constancy is in their heads. They fear the creaking of wheels, but are frightened by fires, even more so. A lion, proud in the strength of his own nature, knows not how to mingle his ferocity with all and sundry, but like the king he is, disdains to have a lot of different wives. Scientists say that Leo has three principal characteristics. I say science because we have Natura Philosophorum, natural philosophers. There were no scientists until like the early 19th century, folks. There were natural philosophers like me and Stang. Anyway, I said scientists here. I just wanted to explain that. Leo, according to these scientists, has three principal characteristics. His first feature is that he loves to saunter on the tops of mountains. Then, if he should happen to be pursued by hunting men, the smell of the hunters reaches up to him, and he disguises his spoor behind him with his tail. Thus, the sportsmen cannot track him. It was in this way that our Savior, the spiritual lion of the tribe of Judah, the rod of Jesse, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, once hid the spoor of his love in the high places, until, being sent by the Father, he came down into the womb of the Virgin Mary and saved the human race which had perished. Ignorant of the fact that his spoor could be concealed, the devil, the hunter of humankind, dared to pursue him with temptations like a mere man. Even the angels themselves who were on high, not recognizing his spoor, said to those who were going up with him when he ascended to his reward, "Who is this King of glory?" We seem to be off in a religious passage. I'm going to drop down and start here. The lion's second feature is that when he sleeps, he seems to keep his eyes open. In this very way, our Lord also, while sleeping in the body, was buried after being crucified, yet his Godhead was awake. As it said in the Song of Songs, "I am asleep, and my heart is awake." Or in the psalm, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Yes, and it says, "He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved." Well, who wants to move my foot besides me? And often it won't move. Oh, well. The third feature is this, that when a lioness gives birth to her cubs, she brings them forth dead and lays them up lifeless for 3 days, until their father, coming on the third day, breathes in their faces and makes them alive. This could also be translated as they, that is the male lions, revive them with a roar. Just so did the Father Omnipotent raise our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. Quoth Jacob, he shall sleep like a lion, and the lion's whelp shall be raised. I'm reminded of Henry IV, Part 1 by Shakespeare, when Shakespeare calls Prince Hal's admonitions to him the roaring of the lion's whelp. And Hal says, well, why not the lion? And Falstaff says, do you think I fear you the way I fear your father? A fairly profound moment. So far as their relations with men are concerned, the nature of lions is that they do not get angry unless they are wounded. Any decent human ought to pay attention to this, for men do get angry when they are not wounded, and they oppress the innocent, although the law of Christ bids them to let even the guilty go free. The compassion of lions, on the contrary, is clear from innumerable examples, for they spare the prostrate. They allow such captives as they come across to go back to their own country. They prey on men rather than on women. I guess that's why we talk about a man-eating lion, huh? And they do not kill children, except when they are very hungry. And, of course, the children taste better. As for this business of stated that they spare the prostrate, so that the idea is you lie down, you and you're prostrate, and the lion may paw you but will not take a big bite. Now, Dr. Johnson reported that when he was partying with Mrs. Thrale, she narrated an interesting anecdote about one of her ancestors without being aware that it derived from the bestiarists. This ancestor of Mrs. Thrale was a Sir Henry de Salisbury, who bore the Bavarian lion in his shield. But many heraldic designs include the lion, including the shield of England, which has four lions rampant. And once again, going back to Prince Hal, who later became Henry V, he had such a shield. An opponent whom he had conquered in battle prostrated himself before Sir Henry, observing "Sat est prostrase leoni." He has lain down to the lion, meaning in front of the lion. Charmed by this tactful and appropriate question, which shows that bestiaries must have been familiar to both combatants, Sir Henry spared his suppliant, and must have repeated the story rather frequently afterwards to have impressed it on the family mind to a generation so distant as that of Mrs. Thrale. Of course, Mrs. Thrale, that great wit and socialite, lived in the 18th century at the same time as Dr. Johnson. I wonder how many of my listeners are familiar with Robert Crumb's depiction of James Boswell's London Journal, which features the first meeting he ever had with the famous dictionary maker and literary sort, Dr. Samuel Johnson. Oh well, here we go, back to the bestiary. Furthermore, lions abstain from overeating. In the first place, because they only take food and drink on alternate days, and frequently, if digestion has not followed, they are even in the habit of putting off the day for dinner. In the second place, they pop their paws carefully into their mouths and pull out the meat of their own accord when they have eaten too much. Indeed, when they have to run away from somebody, they perform the same action if they are full up. Lack of teeth is a sign of old age in lions. Well, yes, and in others. I've still got mine, but one of these days, they'll all come marching out. They copulate the backward way. Nor are they the only ones, but also lynxes, camels, elephants, rhinoceroses, tigers, and hyenas. Yes, of course, this is the animal method of having sex. One wonders if one is a modern person who knows about the Stegosaurus, how that creature managed to copulate in the backward way. You know, Sir Thomas Browne observes in his Pseudodoxica Epidemica, which everyone should read, we are unwilling to question the royal supporters of England, that is, the approved descriptions of the lion and the unicorn. You know, the lion and the unicorn are on the English coat of arms. The lion and the unicorn were fighting for the crown. The lion beat the unicorn all around the town. Anyway, in the lion, the position of the pizzle be proper, and that the natural situation, it will be hard to make out their retrocopulation, or their coupling and pissing backwards, according to the determination of Aristotle. All that urine backward do copulate, oh, here's Greek that I can't read, or aversely as lions, hares, lynxes. In book 3, chapter 27, he deals with the subject more fully. The last foundation was retromigency, or pissing backwards, for men observing both sexes of some animals to urine backward, or aversely between their legs, they might conceive there was a feminine part in both, wherein they are deceived by the ignorance of the just and proper sight of the pizzle, or part designed unto the excretion of urine, which in the hair holds not the common position, but is aversely seated, and in its distension inclines unto the common position, but is aversely seated, and its distension inclines unto the cossacks, or scut. Now, from the nature of this position, there ensueth a necessity of retrocopulation, which also promoteth the conceit. For some, observing them to couple without ascension, have not been able to judge of male or female, or to determine the proper sex in either. And to speak generally, this way of copulation is not appropriate, that is to say, not confined unto hares, nor is there one, but many ways of coition, according to divers shapes and different conformations. For some couple laterally, or sidewise, as worms, some circularly, or by complication, as serpents, some pronely, that is, by contraction of prone parts in both, as apes, porcupines, hedgehogs, and such as are termed mollia, as the cuttlefish and the purple. Some mixedly, that is, the male ascending the female, or by application of the prone parts of one unto the postic part of the other, as most quadrupeds. Some aversely, as all crustaceous animals, lobsters, shrimps, and crevices, and also retromingents, as panthers, tigers, and hares. This is the constant law of their coition, that they observe and transgress not. Only the vitiosity of man hath acted the varieties thereof. Not content with a digression from sex or species, hath in his own kind run through the anomalies of venery, and been so bold, not only to act, but represent to view the irregular ways of lust. I just had to copy out that package, I mean that passage, because it was so appropriate. So back to our text. When they first have babies, they produce 5 whelps. Then, one by one, they reduce the number in succeeding years. Finally, when they have come down to 1, the maternal fertility disappears, and they become sterile forever afterward. A lion turns up its nose at yesterday's dinner and will go away hungry from food which has been left over. 'Tis the royal disposition of that beast. What creature dares declare himself an enemy to this beast, in whose roar there is such natural terribleness that many animals which could escape its charge by their speed fail to get away from the very sound of its voice, as if dumbfounded and overcome by brute force. A sick lion searches for a monkey to eat, by which means he can be cured. A lion fears a cock, especially a white one. The illustration here shows the lion indulging his various habits. It shows him eating a monkey for medicine. By the way, this lion is a medieval depiction. It is not what we know of the lion, but it has great charm. Then the second panel of this illumination shows it sparing prostrate captives. And then the third panel shows being frightened by a white cock. He's ducking his head between his forepaws. A lion, although he is the king of beasts, gets harassed by the tiny sting of a scorpion. Well, who doesn't? That really hurts. More people are killed by scorpions than by anything else all over the world, and it hurts. And snake poison kills him. Well, the same. A vertebrated animal bitten by a poisonous snake. My money's on the snake. We read about certain creatures of moderate size called leontophontes, which people burn when they get them. Well, that's an unusual one. His wife sleeping open-eyed with three babies not yet animated. I don't quite understand how that fits in. They burn them so that they may kill lions with meat which has been tainted by a sprinkling of their ash and thrown down at crossroads between converging tracks, should the lions eat the least little bit of it. Consequently, lions instinctively pursue these creatures with hatred. And when they get a chance, they do not actually bite them, but they lacerate and kill them with the weight of their paws.
A long slide?
A slong.
Oh.
A slog like...
Long.
A long slog, it was, but I had to put it in for the show.
Did Wonder Woman movie? Did you see it?
Wonder Woman!
So it's in World War One?
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that one.
It,
I'd like to.
How did you do? Did you like it?
I'd love to see it.
Wonder Woman beat World War One.
It's a very
popular... She won World War One?
Yes.
Wonder Woman won World War One. Well, I thought it was the British Expeditionary Force.
That means
she was the Golden Age.
See, we see her in Batman Meets Superman, and she's still young. So how come she's in World War One, but then in the ultra-modern era, she still looks great?
Because she's an Amazon. She doesn't age.
Right. She's a semi-divine being.
Yeah.
Which... helps comic book illustrators who don't have to draw wrinkles and crow's feet,
98 years
sagging breasts, white hair.
She looks like she's better than the bovine disco dancing Princess Diana. She's much taller and much more attractive. Yes.
Hubba hubba.
Yes.
But her name is Diana as well.
Yes, Diana
her
Prince.
Human secret identity name is, as you correctly state, Diana Prince.
Yeah.
And then there's her boyfriend, that overmatched soldier.
Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Steve Rogers.
Steve.
Why don't you introduce me to your girlfriend,
Steve? And it's a beautiful day in his neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And does she have her transparent
Wonder
airplane?
Wonder Woman, I've told you a thousand times, I'll take the trash out later.
In the World War One thing, does she have a transparent airplane? Right?
No, she has a sword, a shield, and a lasso.
Oh, so you should have a glass airplane, which you can see right through.
He has the
He crashes one.
He's like John McCain. He can't keep it in the air.
He's going to be the guy that gets caught.
Crash one of those little fabric...
Hey, look, we got these guys on the team. Oh, there's McCain. Oh, he's going to get
caught. Taken away from the hi-hat squad. I'm not exaggerating. He was...
see your own reflection. What is there when you pull the curtain back?
This tesseract of tales, every shelf a new dimension, where the laws of physics bow to literary invention. Duodecimal, now a map to navigate, the stars guiding seekers through time and space.
Mythology's fiction, FM.
Error and facts, copious of volumes.
Trillion several in his distilled knowledge.
Where distilled proximal, interdimensional.
His decimal dewy and required, he has many.
As borrow could Escher tesseract.
Bibliotheca painted hypoidal. Feel slowly. Facts and ephemera, fictions, mythologies, cookbooks and Bibles and technical guidebooks that go on forever. Slowly and see your own reflection. What is there when you pull the curtain back?
Dinosaurs. That was the last I saw. Did they ever finish that thing?
I don't know. But I like the idea of riding a Tyrannosaurus.
Well, there were many good things.
They ride Triceratops in the movie, which I have now seen.
Hitler
has a Tyrannosaurus.
Is that Lurch?
But the Tyrannosaurus also, with its little arm, does the Nazi
salute. Does a little sea Kyle.
To which Sarah Palin returned a middle finger salute.
From another world.
Then also the beginning shows the nuclear war starting, and they take
it is sad.
Sarah Palin out of Washington, and she goes to the secret Arctic fortress and goes down below the ice to the center of the Earth, where Hitler is riding a dinosaur and so on. So what a movie, huh?
And she's also semi-reptilian. Her hand changes into a reptilian claw when she has to press it onto the plate that admits reptoids into the inner world. It's solid entertainment.
Sniper rifle.
I write dinosaurs.
Or even a machine gun.
They're not dinosaurs.
So I'm mowing the guys down while my good old pal the elephant is also mowing them down.
That's your elephant.
And the elephant has a machine gun.
Yeah, no, the elephant.
Nah, come on. Not that old elephant has a machine gun.
Get your story straight, man.
The elephant is carrying me on his back.
That's your elephant.
No, elephant, you young man.
No, we're Nazis.
Nazis in the center of the earth?
Little Nazi. We should have a
cute little Nazis.
Like little,
but they grow up to be
little hot stuff.
Big Republicans.
Little hot stuff.
It'd be like little hot stuff, only be little Nazi.
Yeah. Little Nazi.
Like a little bitty Hitler running around.
Little Hitler.
Playing pranks on people.
Little bitty Hitler.
There was an episode of Little Hot Stuff, and I have it. I could show it to you, where Hitler came and visited the fancy forest. The
That's
fairy
true.
Forest where hot stuff hung out.
He was not in a uniform. He was in like business attire.
They were hiling and everything.
But he brought some big Nazis with him.
Apples.
They were going to steal the magical apples from the fantasy forest.
Harvey Cummings did go for this.
So I've got that issue, unless I gave it away.
And all his henchmen are hiling, but they're like in
that
civilian
sounds like
clothes.
A Herbie. That's something I would see in Herbie.
But it was in Hot Stuff. It was in a Lil Hot Stuff comic. Hot Stuff versus the Nazis. Where in the world do I have that? I can't find most of my stuff. It's lower down in big piles of books that I can't move without creating a terrible book. Hey, but Philo found it online while I was talking.
I'll have to post this on the Puzzling Evidence fan page.
Yeah, he's now got that bit Hot Stuff versus the Nazis.
Hitler ever got together, although it ends up with him driving Hitler and his men out of the forest.
Then show you how we get control of the world. And that's like getting control of the money, yeah?
Yeah, I need it not. It's all these like aerial archery shots are great.
Some other images.
Little Hot Stuff. That baby demon with a shitty diaper running around with a fire-spitting trident in the fantasy forest where the apples of eternal youth grow.
Listen to the show.
Nobody gets to eat them except Hot Stuff, ghosts that are there, and they're already immortal. And Wendy the Witch, fetching little thing.
But he found a panel showing the Hitler and Hot Stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I believe that.
And here's Barack Obama beating up Osama bin Laden on the cover of Strange...
Time Magazine.
Strange
Adventures? Is it?
Strange Drain? Strange.
Come on, what's this? I never
seen something like that. Strange Dream?
I've seen two.
Could it be Dream?
Movies that were based on Strange Drain.
It could happen. An earthquake could occur, and all that stuff would slide down on me or fall on me while I'm sleeping on the floor, wrapped in blankets that I can't get out of. I'd be crushed by books, like some people were in Hiroshima when. The bomb went off.
It was not a hurricane. It was a Harvey Comics.
Yes.
Little Hot Stuff.
The Harvey Comics group.
Dragon.
Okay, I that makes sense, I guess. Dragon.
Dragon?
There's a character in there. See him back there?
That is a dragon?
Yes.
That green guy?
I don't know.
That's the dragon?
God save King Pendragon. Long may his reign drag on. God save the king.
I have to admit it, the music's getting better.
Well, what's happened is how...
Send him victorious, splendid and glorious, most horrible and glorious. God save the king.
I don't know. I wouldn't wish for certain things.
It's no, you don't have a choice. That's just how radio works.
Confound so, their politics.
For it,
frustrate so their knavish tricks.
Waiting in Lederhosen in the bay, damaging the Golden Gate Bridge.
When they would do the Heil Hitlers and then Udo Kier.
The high old Hitlers.
And crashing into a Hitler meeting with there's Goering and Golding.
Goering, not Golding.
Save that image.
Himmler and
Gotten Himmler.
The Kool-Aid guy.
Oh yeah.
Comes crashing into the room. Amazing. Who
hey, Kool-Aid! Apparently that's all it takes. It's just, hey, Kool-Aid.
Hey, Kool-Aid. Get over here.
Weird War Tales.
Kool-Aid, get your
starring
ass over here.
The Creature Commandos. The weirdest warriors of all. Hitler and company would freak out if they knew the secret mission of the Circus of Madness.
How about Smilin' Sergeant Death and the Merciless Mayhem Patrol? Drawn by Gilbert Shelton in Feds and Heads, a wonderful underground comic.
I'll save you, Hitler.
Scene, the Pentagon, Washington, D.C. Well, Death, I suppose you're wondering why you, a mere sergeant, have been summoned here.
I can only assume it's something too big to go through normal channels, sir.
Correct. Oh, well. Enough of politics. Perhaps it's time to play one of the oldies but moldies. How about I'm the Ghoul from Wolverton Mountain?
And Mussolini.
They say don't go on Wolverton Mountain if you're looking for a wife. Clifton Cowles has a pretty young daughter. He's mighty handy
with a knife.
A gun and a knife.
Yeah.
They say her lips are sweeter than honey.
It's true.
But how do they know when no one's made the dare?
No one will admit it.
The birds and the bears tell Clifton Cowles. If a stranger should wander there, yes, I'm the ghoul on Wolverton Mountain. I'm going up there to reach the top.
As illustrated by Basil Wolverton.
Be there to meet me. His gun and knife won't make me stop.
At a boy.
Oh, they say her lips.
Of course, you're already dead.
Are sweeter than honey. But how do they know when no one's made the dare? I'll eat the bears and the birds on Wolverton Mountain and tell her daddy it just ain't fair. I'm going to climb up on that mountain. I don't care about Clifton Cowles. I'm going to climb up on that mountain. Get that girl. Igor, where, old friend, are you coming? Up there, they're shooting a little wild deer. Igor, are you all right, my boy?
Don't ask, Igor.
I believe you're leaking there. I believe he's got you. You wait right here.
With his long white hair and his crooked staff, he walks along and the folks all laugh. With a twinkle in his eye, he'll pass you by. The old man of the mountain, he has long hair and his feet are bare.
They say he's mad as an old March hare, but I often sigh and wish that I was the old man of the mountain. He talks to the birds when he's lonely, sleeps with the sky for a tent. All the beasts spread a feast when he's hungry. The good Lord charged no rent. He'll live as long as an old oak tree and laugh at fools like you and me. Yet I often sigh and wish that I was the old man of the mountain. Oh, he chats with the frogs when he needs to, sleeps in an old hollow log. He don't write no email, he don't post no blog. He wears no pants and he grows those plants, and he calls us slaves and he raves and rants. He sure consumes those wild mushrooms, the old man of the mountain.
Doc,
I am here to save you.
That's surely not Marvel stuff.
I am the Defiler.
And the American Eagle.
The Defiler.
A defilo of all that is holy.
I am defilo.
So,
what's all this about defiling people?
Seven up. That
you have to get to the end to do that.
With ice in Tucson, Arizona.
Good stuff.
Made me actually like Seven Up.
Look at my water beating on the glass.
Lively flavor and lots of bubbles.
It's
sparkling light.
Dry and
drown your troubles with lots of bubbles. It's sparkling light.
Got 120.
Go one up with Seven Up. Seven Up. Go one up with Seven Up.
SRC,
Seven Up.
The Madman Taste. Or if you want the whole thing, move on over to RC Cola.
It's a mad cola. And RC, the one with
RC,
the mad taste.
One with the mad taste.
I yes, can understand that.
Moving along,
it's
with
Dino, Desi, and Billy.
Case of RC Cola before I start the show.
And those are heavy, and Nancy Sinatra could heft a whole wooden case of RC Cola in glass bottles for that special she did called Movin' with Nancy. Brought to you by Royal Crown Cola with interlocutor Art Linkletter and even the hovering presence of Frank Sinatra, who wasn't going to let Nancy get away with anything. He disguised himself as a parking lot attendant. In his peaked cap, he kept an eye on his daughter, as Italian mafia fathers often tend to do.
It's corny, it's like bullet time. Chuck some wood.
Well, I'll tell you, it's brave of you to say that, because all those things die a violent death in nature.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Every last one of them.
Well, that thinks it's only appropriate that I come back as one.
As a motherload morning marmoset. And then, of course, the marmoset, Marmac.
No, wait, I want to be a cross between them.
A marmoset is the same as a groundhog.
I tried to tell you, the marmoset and the woodchuck are the
and
same.
The groundhog is the same as a woodchuck.
And so is the groundhog. They are all the same creature.
Yeah.
Marmoset.
Yes.
Marmax Marmotus.
No. Marmotus Monax. I said it wrong.
But see, if the inter...